Good afternoon, Dr. Dan Guerra. This is Authentic Biochemistry Podcast. Today is 12 March, 2024. We're going to be doing lecture number 10 in what I'm calling Mosaic 2, and this is book 2. Just part of my overall bookkeeping on my lectures. That's why I'm using all that numerical systematics. So last time we were talking about the fact that when there's an absence of plasmalogens in association with a decrease in the myelin basic protein, there is a decrease in myelination of axons in the central nervous system. So that means that plasmalogens are playing a vital role in myelination. One of the vital roles is that myelin itself, along with possessing sphingomyelin, which is a sphingosine-based lipid, obviously, as a major molecular species, there's also plasmalogens that are associated with the myelin sheath. Okay? So it's a simple correlation. We were talking also about this MBP, this myelin protein, and it plays many roles that we mentioned just as we're finishing the lecture in myelin physiology, myelin biochemistry. So the question is, how does the reduction of plasmalogen decrease the MBP? And does it do so at the level of transcription? Okay, because we talked a lot about post-translational control over proteins involved in plasmalogen biosynthesis. And not only in that pathway, many pathways that we have come across in authentic biochemistry. So anyways, this myelin basic protein. So the MBP is a target gene of the LXR receptor system. And of course, the LXR is nothing more than a transcription factor. So it's going to be a TF complex. It's going to have to translocate into the nucleus to find specific response elements in the DNA that will be acting as promoter regions and enhancer regions to cause ultimately the nation transcription of MBP as an mRNA. Then the mRNA, you know, has to be processed, translated, and then the protein's functional, right? So the activation of LXR is known to be induced by specific oxysterols. 24-hydroxycholesterol is the one that is required as a ligand for the transcription factor, the LXR transcription factor, to ultimately regulate the expression of not just MBP, but other proteins. Right? But we're talking about MBP and associated with myelination. So the mole percent or quantity of 24-hydroxy cholesterol in the cerebellum of plasmalogen deficient, and they're plasmalogen deficient because they are of a knockout, it's a mouse model, of the GNPAT, right? Remember, that's the initial enzyme that adds the acyl group to the one position. This is before we have the AGPS reaction, which is going to then generate the alkyl group ether linkage on the one position of the cholesterol backbone. Right? So you have a knockout of GNPAP. So you're going to obviously have a decrease in plasmalogen biosynthesis. And in fact, you can get plasmalogen depletion. And they put this also in a PEX-14 delta C / delta C background, genetic background, which is going to inhibit what? It's going to inhibit the mobilization of polypeptides into the peroxisome. Remember that? And so they did that. And they looked at, you know, and they compared it, of course, to control mice, right? And they saw that, indeed, you could titrate that entire system by using 24-hydroxycholesterol, okay? So when you decrease that particular oxysterol in the cerebellum, you see plasmalogen depleted mice, and that's due to the ineffective deficiency in the biosynthesis of the cholesterol. And rather than having that cholesterol pathway, there's a preferential synthesis of a 2,3-22-23 diepoxy squalene. Now, if you know your cholesterolgenesis pathway, this is just an intermediate, okay? Because it comes directly from squalene, intermediate cholesterolgenesis. So this is similar to the mechanism of reduced cholesterol synthesis in the absence of plasmalogens sensu stricto. Okay, when you're just looking at plasmalogen deficiency. So it seems like plasmalogen is coordinating cholesterolgenesis into a differential program to make this epoxide rather than making the 24-hydroxy cholesterol. So this could be, right at the onset, because you know it's authentic biochemistry, so I'm going to tell you the way I'm thinking. An endomembranous event pathology. Maybe it doesn't directly involve nascent transcription or even translation, but rather alterations in the local enzyme turnover or mobilization, indeed sequestration, thus ablating normal biosynthetic processes in situ because of plasmalogen mole percent deficiencies. Now, given the fact that brain cholesterol is separated from the circulating cholesterol with the blood-brain barrier is indeed supplied primarily by cholesterolgenesis in the glia, it suggests that there is a physiological consequence directly of plasmalogen homeostasis in the cerebellum in this mouse model. However, in an engineered mouse model, the transcription factor LXR regulation of membrane cholesterolgenesis may indeed affect nascent transcription at one level, and that is the alternate isoprenoid biosynthetic pathway. Now, it still isn't really clear if it is merely a transcriptional control, because obviously the sensing and the signaling has to come from plasmalogen in the membrane. So plasmalogen is not the ligand that binds to the transcription factor LXR. It's that 24-hydroxycholesterol. So that means there has to be an intermediate pathway in place. And that means all of the regulation of the cholesterolgenesis has to be a priori to this whole control mechanism. You see? For the myelination, right? Because that's what we're talking about here. So the end product of this is myelination, or the MBD protein, right? The myelin basic protein. Okay. So you kind of get where I'm coming from here. Now, let me tell you something from a paper published in Frontiers in Cell Developmental Biology. This came out a couple years ago, a little bit less. You know now, because we're at lecture 10, plasmalogens are very significant in humans. Other mammals and in other animals, and certainly in plants and in microorganisms, there are various aspects of plasmalogen biosynthesis one may obtain by study. But plasmalogens in humans, particularly in human CNS, seems to be an essential event ontology. Okay. And the unique thing about the plasmalogens, again, in human CNS and in all the cells you find plasmalogens, they're very narrow in the polar head group. They either have ethanolamine or choline. Okay. So it's obvious that these two unique plasmalogens and the control over their biosynthesis, which you know is quite complex and quite potent in its interaction with multiple organelles, linking up with multiple enzymatic activities, much of the activity not directly related to fresh transcription, but more to the mobilization of polypeptides in or out of the peroxisome. And then also one of the proteins, that subunit of the ATPase, comes from the endoplasmic reticulum, coordinating the flipase, regulating the level of plasmalogen so that it can signal to the reductase, the fatty acyl reductase, to generate the fatty alcohol. And that's the rate limiting step. Remember all of that. Okay. So it's a very unique patterning here. And I just want you to make sure you understand why I'm spending so much time on it. Okay. Now, what about ethanolamine plasmalogens? So again, this would be plasmenyl ethanolamine, or PE bracket P. Now, those kinds of lipids with that particular polar head group is going to adopt an inverted hex phase membrane structure because there is a lowering. Remember, I talked about this a while back. Lamellar gel to liquid crystalline and lamellar to inverse hexagonal phase transition, compared to the alkyl acyl and diacyl homologs in the series. Remember, we were talking about cholesterol also has a similar effect, right? So that's very, very good physical chemistry because it relates to plasmalogens and cholesterol, perhaps playing not the same structural role in the sequence of the mole percent of that given lipid in the inner leaflet, but that it's regulating more the endomembranous structure itself, thus the signaling component, thus maintaining overall multiple phenomena that these cells are involved in. And if they're in the CNS and they're glia cells, like astrocytes, what are they going to be doing? Some of those cells are going to be generating myelin. You see? So this gives you this really interesting association. So the presence of that vinyl ether, rather than just a simple alkyl group, actually decreases the hydrophilicity of the system. And that leads to, and we covered this before, a 90-degree shift in the orientation of the acyl chain, because it leads to a perpendicular orientation of the acyl chain at the SN2 position relative to the membrane surface. Now, what else does that? Cholesterol does that because of that cyclopentanophenanthrene ring. So you see what's going on here. It's similar to saying it's a mimicry between sterol lipid and glycerol lipid controlling water channels and thus membrane composite event signaling. Okay, I use the word composite because remember, this is not a simple system, highly complex, right? So there's more than just this, is what I'm saying. So that drives inverted hex phase structures. And that gives you this reduced transition temperature between the lamellar and the non-lamellar phase. And that also relates to how plasmalogens control. We were discussing this with the mitochondrial fission fusion, because that controls fission and fusion. Remember, that was the topic we were discussing. So you see how I chose this topic after talking about the mitochondrial system and fission and fusion, because I wanted to show you how significant lipids are in the membrane. And because this is a mosaic, we can talk about all the potential biochemical, physiological sequelae to these molecular events. And that's what we're doing. Okay? So, you only see this for that plasmenoyl ethanolamine plasmalogen. Okay? But not for the choline plasmalogens, different head group, right? They do not form non-bilayer structures. at body temperature. So this means that there is a membrane reifying event that is associated, just like cholesterol, that's associated with these plasmalogens in the membrane. Now, this has actually been related to the Zellweger syndrome. It's a human disease, which is a peroxisomal disease. We talked about Zellweger, I think about 2 years ago I was covering that. We can go back and we can find out which of the chapters it was. Okay? So what this suggests that there is a molecular topodynamic that relates to membrane fluidity and condensation, which then generates a increase in diameter of that membrane that's particularly localized to the plasmalogen mole percent. Okay? That's the key feature. So it's a membrane-mediated event. And that is by itself, then, you understand. Because all that's happening in the membrane, after all the enzymology has generated these specific lipid molecular species. So that means that the initial event is non-transcriptional, non-translational. Because all the proteins and all the lipids have to already be incorporated in situ to be able to carry out this membrane physiological response, which ultimately leads to, in the topic we're talking about, myelination. Okay? So these ether lipids, these plasmalogens, the vinyl ether lipid in particular, also have pro-ferritotic association. Now, ferritosis is the iron-linked programmed cell death. Remember that? We've talked about it many times. And we typically say ferritosis is induced by lipid peroxides from the membrane. Okay? Now we're with ether lipids. Do ether lipids, could they possibly play a role in generating lipid peroxides? Well, of course they could, because the two positional plasmalogens has VLC puffers, very long chain polyunsaturated fatty acids. So not only can they be cleaved up by phospholipase A2, mediating an eicosanoid response, such as pro-inflammatory, which plasmalogens are associated with, remember, another physiological response. Remember, we talked about this. But of course, that means that you can get peroxidation of those fatty acids as well. Okay, and peroxy fatty acid groups can induce ferritosis in the presence of ferrocyanin. Okay, presence of ferrocyanin. So that's another linkage that you need to keep in mind, right? So plasmalogen synthesis and the very long chain polyunsaturated fatty acid incorporation to the two position of that backbone can both be linked directly to ferritosis. Now, you have this fatty acyl-CoA reductase, which, of course, the enzyme, remember we've been talking about, rate-limiting, FAR1, which gives you the fatty alcohol, which generates the initial ether bond. All this is happening in the peroxisome, right? But as you know, the peroxisomal system also involves the endoplasmic reticulum. And that includes then overall plasmalogen homeostasis. And in fact, one of the other enzymes that seems to be linked to ferritosis, high levels of expression. Now, this isn't uniform in the literature, but it has been noted, is the plasmanoyl desaturase 1. That's the PEDS 1. That puts in the vinyl linkage, remember? So, you have a two position of the fatty acid potentially becoming a peroxy fatty acid, which can induce ferritosis. But you also have some linkage here to that vinyl ether. Okay? which could also, because of double bond, possibility of generating, because of substitution reactions, a peroxy derivative. Okay? So, that's why there's a distinction between plasmenoyl versus plasmanoyl ether lipids. Plasmenoyl are the vinyl ether linkages because they have a double bond. See? So that's all good biochemistry. Now, plasmalogen levels also increase in macrophages. And this is after a toll-like receptor response in the macrophage. What can induce TLRs? Depends on the molecular species of TLR. But one of the components that can turn on TLRs in macrophages are infections by pathogens. So one that's been studied is cytomegalovirus infection. Okay. So you can use cytomegalovirus infection to alter plasmalogen levels, but you can also use dimethyl acetals. Now, those are interesting because they don't seem to have any effect on either the head group or the specific fatty acid in the 2 position. But they do, but those dimethyl acetals do seem to have an effect associated with the chain length of the fatty acid at that alkyl 1 position. Now, what are those fatty acids most often? Palmitate, stearate, oleate, and also the saturated fatty acid, arachidic acid, 20:0. Remember, we picked that up on a screen earlier in the lecture as a potential fatty acid which increases, right? And those could be fatty alcohols, and they could be in the alkyl position, one position of that plasmalogen, prior to the vinylation of that, you know, generating a double bond. Okay? So, the most abundant DMA species that have been studied seem to be involved in this plasmalogen alteration. And that results in an alteration of biosynthesis, degradation of the plasmalogens. So what are these dimethyl acetals involved in? Well, I think it could be the derivatization of the plasmalogen, because a dimethyl acetal could potentially be a substrate for the production of platelet activating factor. Okay? Now, of course, that acetal is going to do other things too because of that aldehyde group. It could affect the oxidation state of that polyunsaturated fatty acid. So there's a lot of things that could be going on there, but that's an interesting aspect in plasmalogen biochemistry. Okay? So, anyways, viral induction of alteration in plasmalogen levels has been well described. And you know that it's very rare to get a viral infection in the CNS in humans because of the blood-brain barrier. It can happen, of course. But what's more common is for alterations in peroxisomal activity in the CNS linked to neurodegeneration. So that the etiologic agent there is obviously not going to be a pathogenic virus. So what about Alzheimer's disease? It seems that in Alzheimer's disease, there is a general reduction in plasmalogen mole percent. In fact, some researchers have suggested there is an inverse correlation between plasmalogen levels and overall pathophysiology of Alzheimer's. And that can be linked to various dimethyl acetals. which are linked to this whole process, okay? So, means that there are co-adaptive plasmalogen lipid changes that seem to be linked to inflammatory responses. That's the simplest way to look at it, I think. Linked to given tissues that can either be mediated by pathogenic toll-like receptor induction in macrophages, for example, or via neurodegenerative, perhaps proteinopathies in the central nervous system associated with tau protein in Alzheimer's disease. Okay, so that's a neurodegenerative effect there, obviously. Okay. So, something else to keep in mind. So, plasmalogen alterations of the head group, we haven't talked much about, but really we only have two head groups, so that's why. It's pretty simple. It's ethanolamine or it's choline. And what is choline? That's trimethylethanolamine. And ethanolamine is decarboxylated serine. So, you understand, again, where those head groups come from. Now, as it turns out, when you study plasmalogen in the inner or outer leaflet of the plasma membrane, there is an asymmetry of the plasmalogen subclasses. And so when you talk about the different leaflets, they call them cytofacial and exofacial, right? Cytofacial is the inner leaflet, exofacial is the outer leaflet. Okay. So that's really important. Why? Because if you have the plasmalogen on the exterior surface, the exofacial, what ability does phospholipase A2 have to remove the fatty acid from the two position? You see? So the placement of the plasmalogen in either the inner or outer leaflet is going to change the sequence dynamic that's going to regulate the inflammatory response because the availability of the two position for PLA2. Okay? So, this plasmanoyl ethanolamine, much like the typical diacyl partner, which would simply be phosphatidylethanolamine, right, will diffuse rapidly from the outer to the inner leaflet, okay? But less than 20% of the plasmanoyl choline molecule compared to the phosphatidylcholine will ever reach the interior base of the membrane. So plasmalogen with ethanolamine as the polar head group is similar to phosphatidylethanolamine and quick mobility into the inner leaflet, but not with plasmanoyl choline, not that particular plasmalogen. Let me check my time. So that means you're going to change what? The mole percent of plasmalogens because of polar head group from the inner to the outer leaflet. And that also means you're going to change the availability of the very long chain polyunsaturated fatty acid in the two position for phospholipase A2 activity, which is going to generate one of the components of physiological responses of plasmalogens, which is an inflammatory induction because of the change in leaflet because of leaflet asymmetry overall, is the simplest way to put it. I'm going to stop there because we have almost out of time. This, again, is a Tuesday afternoon. And this is Dr. Daniel Guerra in Authentic Biochemistry, wishing you a pleasant evening, and bye for now.